Hello! Hello and welcome to the Comic Cast, Ireland's number one comic podcast. I'm Craig.
I'm Liam.
And we're here with a podcast. Once a month these days. What's that about?
No, we're back.
Oh, we're back. We're back on form.
You said that last month.
Yeah, I did.
We blatantly lied last
you
month.
You blatantly lied. I claimed no such thing. You're like, no, definitely have it in the bag this week. But you were busy doing your voice work and your thing.
Well, either way, we're back.
We're back. We're back in full business. Form. Sorry about the shoddiness. Yeah. The tardiness.
Well, I guess it's okay because in the newspaper business, they call August the silly season when there's nothing to talk about, so they generally fill the newspapers with shit.
Right, really.
So in our case, we just didn't fill our metaphorical newspaper
with anything.
Yes.
Excellent. And before we start, little story for you, right? I went home last night. It sounds like a boring story, but it picks up. And I was looking at our bookshelf as I was just drinking milk out of the fridge, which is right beside the bookshelf, and there's a book there, right? It's a blue book. And it's got a picture of Mother Trees on it. And it's called I Shit You Not. Like, I swear on my fucking, on Mother Trees' grave, the book is called The Missionary Position. And it's about Mother Trees.
That's amazing.
What the hell? Like,
that's, wow.
And it's not even like, it's such a shit, it's not like they're trying to sex up Mother Trees or Catholicism, you know. Like, she's not fucking leather and not. I don't know if they didn't get the pun or.
Was it by Mother Teresa? Because I think we have actually a few books upstairs by Mother Teresa.
No, it was like it was Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, the theory, or her theory or something. So it wasn't by her, no.
Yeah. It was about Mother Teresa, the erotic novel.
Yeah, exactly. Prices.
Amazing.
Anyway, what's on the show this week?
Well, we're going to be talking about what comics we've been reading a lot this week.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about movies. We're going to be talking about Defender, which just came out on DVD.
I didn't watch that. Okay. I claimed I did.
The Illusionist, which was in the cinema. And Tamara Drew.
I'm going to mention it briefly.
Okay. And we'll also be talking to Brenby about Offset 2010, which is coming up soon. And we'll have also lots of news. That is indeed why we have been nominated for the second time.
We've been longlisted.
I
mean, that
means
it means you applied. It's just confirmation that your application has been received.
Amazing. Well, there's no reason to continue talking about the Irish Web Awards and how we were nominated.
Yeah.
Ruin that.
So, Lee, what you been reading?
What have I been reading? Well, this week I've been reading Moam. The quarterly comics anthology published by Fantagraphics, the very latest one, so summer 2010. Moam always have like a really diverse selection of works, so sometimes like I have a lot of issues of Moam that have been going for the last couple of years, but so like in some issues there can be a lot of work that I just don't like. Do you know what I mean? Because it's the nature of an anthology. But anyway, the summer 2010 one is fantastic. Not the case with this one. There's some real crackers in it. It's some really diverse work. Gilbert Hernandez makes his first appearance in Moam.
Fuck yeah.
Yes, with a brand new story, actually, for any Hernandez fans, with his character Roy. I used to think Moam was just for, you know, brand new...
Sure.
Comic artists, but slowly kind of, you know, more kind of the top comic artists have had stories appearing in there. But, you know, still, you know, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
There's
too many stories by today's top comic artists. Yes. <analogy. Yeah. laughs>
What I want is more trash. Ridiculous. Well, returning contributors, let's see, Tim Lane, who did the Abandoned Cars book, which I reviewed a while back, which was kind of okay. He's got a new story in it, more of the same. Connor O'Keefe and Robert Gooden, they're all in Moam before, but these are all new stories. Anyway, the standout stories for this edition for me were The Imaginatist.
Yeah.
Or Imaginist. Imaginatist. Yeah.
Right.
by Oliver Schrauen. Okay. About a man who's completely paralyzed and he's unable to communicate, you know, with anyone, which is one of my biggest fears, by the way.
Sure.
But so...
That's why you can never fucking just shut the fuck up.
He kind of imagines this kind of extraordinary life that he has. The art is really, really lovely and dreamlike. It's good. The best thing about this comic is seeing the two kind of different worlds of, you know, him just being paralyzed and the nurse looking after him, overlapping with his kind of dreamlike world. So, you know, like when it's kind of like in that space where you're waking up in the morning and you're still half dreaming, yeah, yeah, and you kind of hear the alarm clock, but in the alarm clock in your dream is something else, you know, it's alarm. Hitler. Yeah, it's Hitler.
Put an alarm clock in his mouth.
But yeah, anyway, so that's a great story. And another really good one in this is by DJ Bryant, I'm going to say. The story's called Evelyn Dalton Hoyt, and it's kind of this hard-boiled tale of this married couple who kind of hate each other, but they kind of love that they hate each other. It's probably the most kind of extreme comic ever to appear in a Mom collection. But this guy's work is like amazing. The art is kind of a little cross between maybe Hernandez and Charles Burns. Really nice. I'd love to see more. I went to, even on the back of the Mom comic, there's like, you know, a little biog with his blog address, which doesn't exist. Okay. And I tried to like find information about him.
Yeah.
Does not exist, which only makes him more enigmatic and appealing to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, this is a great, this is a great edition of Mom. I mean, most people have probably picked up Mom at one stage in life. I don't get it every time it comes out. It comes out, you know, like 4 times a year. But this edition, definitely pick it up. It's worth it. It's only about 14 quid in Forbidden Planet and the rest of the comic book stores in Dublin.
Sure.
What you been reading?
Right, well, first up, the big one this month has been Clint. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Okay.
It is a new magazine.
Tell me. Oh, okay.
From Mark Miller. A comic magazine, like 2000 AD or something like that, where it's the collection of comics and there's a few shitty articles in between and stuff, but mainly comics.
Okay.
And so, brilliantly, I heard about this just before I even reviewed it. I heard about it and I was like, oh, I have to check that out. Because, you know, like a new comic magazine that's going to be just distributed in regular shops, not just distributed comic shops. Like. And so I was in Spar picking up some fucking Doritos, and Frankie Boyle has a, because I'm a fucking mess, I go to Spar every day and pick up 2 bags of Doritos. Frankie Boyle has a comic in it, sorry.
Frankie Boyle, the comedian.
Yeah, yeah, he's written his first comic. Okay. And so as I was walking with my Doritos, already opening them on the way to the checkout, you know, they'll still let you pay for them once you've opened them. I just saw a cover of like Loaded or something, and Frankie Boyle was on it, and I was like, I walked by it, and I'm like, maybe, no way, no, that can't be it. And like, I took a few steps back, and yeah, that was it. Like, so the cover just looks like something like Maxim or something,
okay,
except with Frankie Boyle on the cover.
Okay.
You know, it just looks like the lads magazine, but then they open it up, it's 98% comics, about 100 pages. And they're in this first issue, there's the first 10 or so pages of Kick-Ass 2, which hasn't come out in even a regular comic form yet. And then there's the full first issue of Nemesis by Mark Miller and Stephen McNiven, which I've read before and it's okay. The first full issue of Turf by Jonathan Ross, TV's Jonathan Ross, and artist Tommy Lee Edwards. And then there's an 11-page comic by Frankie Boyle and some other dude, whose name is written down here. The artist by Michael Dowling. And then there's another like 3-page comic at the end. And then also articles and stuff in between. So like, and it's only it was €6.94. So it's definitely a worthwhile purchase. But just so I'm really excited that there's a comic.
Yeah, there was another comic book I think is it Future Publishing, the ones that kind of do all those kind of computer game magazines or
yes,
whatever.
Future, yeah.
But every so often they'll release this comic book one that's quite good, and quite good for a good cross section of kind of superhero and indie kind of comics. But I think it comes out once a year. I literally think it just comes out once a year because I remember seeing it and I bought it. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then I've never seen it since.
Sure, yeah. No, well, this is monthly anyway. Next one comes out on the 30th of September, I think. So definitely worth checking out. But just on the specific comics in it, I'll just give some quick rundowns. Turf is a comic read for, but I've never reviewed, so I'll just speak about it briefly. It's by Jonathan Ross, like I said, TV's Jonathan Ross, and Tommy Lee Edwards, who drew Mark Miller's 1985 very well. I'm a big fan, and it's like this pulp story set in like Prohibition, you know, 1921 America. There's gangsters, but they're fighting. It's a turf war between the gangsters and the vampires. So it's a little more, you know, it's pretty cool. It's very dense. John Ross hasn't realized, I think, that you do a lot with the art, so there's just a lot of words covering the art. So like, it took ages to read. Like compared to a regular comic, there's maybe 3 times the amount of dialogue. Well, there would be just like panels where you can barely see anyone. It's just all text. But it actually kind of works because he writes the comic surprisingly well for someone who hasn't, in particular, giving characters like unique voices and stuff without just giving them like a Scottish accent or something. You know what I mean? And so you're reading it along, and it's, you know, there's some gangsters, and oh, there's vampires, and you know, this is interesting. And then about halfway through, there's like a spaceship, and there's aliens as well. So it's just like the craziest fucking comic I've ever read, basically. I guess I don't want to spoil it, but it's a turf war between vampires, gangsters, and aliens. You know, there's not much more to say.
Okay.
The art is phenomenal. Tommy Lee Edwards does an amazing job in this, because he's already one of my favourite artists. But like, cool. Unfortunately, like I said, all his art is covered by John Ross's words. So if you get like a silent version of this comic, that might be that would be a bonus. That'd be pretty cool. One thing that's cool about this, I read it originally when it came out in regular comic form, and it's in a small regular comic form. But Clint is quite large. It's oversized. It's definitely bigger than a regular comic, which is good for a comic to contain so many words. It makes it a little easier to read. So Turf's pretty cool. I haven't seen a second issue, even though like issue one came out like months ago. So hopefully it'll be in the next issue of Clint and I'll get to read it there. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. It is kind of the story, I feel, where you'd probably be better off like holding off and almost reading the collection or something. It's so dense and you kind of get into it and then you're out of it and you have to spend time getting back into it and stuff. But really good. Definitely recommend checking out.
What about Frankie Boyle?
He's getting onto that. It's called Rexroid. This is really...
this sounds like something that would be in Viz.
Yeah, this one was really weird. It's like this Lex Luthor kind of evil super villain kind of guy who doesn't actually have powers like Lex Luthor. And he has... He's called Rexroid, and he's a dude. Then he has all these servants who are just, you know, doing shitty jobs and stuff. And then one of them realizes that he is in fact the real Rexroid, and that the one in power is a clone. That he did this himself for some reason. I'm not clear why. And so then he comes back and he's like, oh, I'm the real Rexroid, blah blah blah. But then the twist at the end of I don't mind spoiling because it's only 10 pages, but maybe someone does spoilers. But it turns out that no, this guy who thinks he's Rexroid isn't, and the clone is the real Rexroid, and it's just some sort of evil plan he has. But
it sounds like a good idea.
It is a decent idea, and the art by McDonald's pretty good. And Frankie Boyle has discovered, like, short dialogue works best in a sort of comic form. So it's sort of better paced, maybe, than Turf is. So, yeah, it's cool. It's interesting enough. It's not enough. 10 pages isn't enough to really to go on, I guess. But I'm definitely going to read the next one in the next issue.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Like kind of movie stars who are turning to music and doing bands. Are TV comics turning to doing comic books? What's going on?
I don't know. Well, like... John Ross, obviously a well-known comic book fan, and you know, he did a documentary even on Steve Ditko and stuff. So, you know, I think it's fair game for him. Frankie Boyle, I'm not sure. I don't know his love of comics, but he wrote a fairly good comic this song.
Okay.
I think there's not a funny comic, so I'd be happy to see some comedians write some funny comics. You know, but I'm not against it. I'll just really probably usually trash. also, in this issue was Kick-Ass 2, the first 8 pages or so of Kick-Ass 2, and it's pretty good. The basic premise of this, from these first 8 pages, is that a girl is now living with a regular family, so she's trying to pretend she's still regular, you know, she's regular and she's not up to any shenanigans. But late at night, her and Kick-Ass, she's trying to Kick-Ass to be a real hero, you know, how to fight and stuff. And so she's basically just beating him up for a few pages. That's really it. There's a great line where Kick-Ass, you know, after being beat up by a girl, he goes, I feel like Rihanna after a quiet night in.
Oh! Snap!
So that was pretty good. So, yeah. So, yeah, definitely pick up Clint. Like, for the €7 or something, it's really good value. And like I said, the paper quality is really good, and it's much bigger than your regular comic, and it's probably 1.5 times the size. Pick it up. Yep. It's really cool.
Will do.
I guess you probably have stuff to
read. Okay.
review
for once.
Yeah.
My next one is book 1 of The Abominable Charles Christopher.
Sure.
I don't know if you know of this comic. It's a webcomic.
You emailed me and I read the first one.
Okay. well, it's a webcomic by Carl Kershaw. I hadn't followed this webcomic online because I don't really follow webcomics online because I absolutely can't stand the format. I can't stand reading stuff online, which probably worked out best for me because this is the first collected volume of I don't know how many particular strips online, but it's kind of like the Animals of Farthing Wood or Watership Down,
okay.
And so you know you have all these kind of woodland creatures who all kind of live in harmony in the forest, and then obviously with the title we have the abominable Charles Christopher, who's kind of, you know, like a Sasquatch or you know, whatever. He's just a big lug. Sure. He doesn't speak, but he just kind of wanders around, and basically. The story of this is quite an interesting kind of webcomic because the way it works is that there is a story going on where Charles Christopher has to he's on a mission. It's very vague in book one. It's very vague of what he's actually doing. But mixed up with these is these kind of gag strips that involve the other animals. So you can kind of go from it being very serious to kind of just like a, you know, like a Far Side kind of, sure. You know, gag, which is great, which I love. Because there's like, there's, for example, the skunks in the forest. They're kind of like their dad owns the shop in inverted commas, which is just like, you know, like the river, where he sells water to the animals and sells berries and stuff. Mm-hmm. And to advertise it, you know, he gets his sons to just walk around the forest going, you know, I'd really like some berries. You know who makes good berries? And then like the animals are just hungry then and stuff. Or there was actually a really good one, where like a bear is climbing a tree for honey. And he gets halfway up the tree and like one of the honeybees comes down and he's like takes on the persona of a bouncer at a nightclub and he's like, you know, is your name on the list? You're not getting any honey unless your name is on the list.
Yeah.
But really, really...
sounds excellent.
Yeah, no, it is a really good comic. Beautiful artwork. It kind of reminded me a little bit of in Calvin and Hobbes when Bill Watterson kind of drew real life. You know, he occasionally, if there was a close-up of a bird or something, you know, he'd just draw it from real life. Kind of like art like that. But really kind of great comic. It is ongoing. So book one, you know, I imagine it's book one of probably several books. In the kind of foreword of it by Kershaw, he kind of explains how he didn't plot it out at all, which is certainly evident. you know, and he just kind of let the story... You know, just kind of go as it just, you know, take on its own. But it's great. Yeah, I do really recommend it. It's a bit pricey at €40.
Yeah.
Even for comic standards, I think. But it does come with a kind of a strokeable hardback cover, kind of like the Muppet DVDs.
Sure, yeah.
It's really good. You can read it online, but I'd recommend just buying the book, to be honest.
Okay, cool.
Oh, actually, sorry. One more thing. If you are a fan of him, he's touring Europe, promoting the book, along with two other webcomic artists you may have heard of, Ramon Perez and Cameron Stewart. They're going to be in Forbidden Planet in Dublin on November 15th. If you're in England, they're going to be at like the Thought Bubble Festival and Comica. But I guess check out the site. But they're going to be in Dublin anyway on the 15th.
That's excellent.
Check it out.
Okay. My next one is not really a comic. Alan Moore, Unearthing.
Yes.
The audiobook thing. It arrived. It did this behemoth. I think I mentioned it last month that I was
Watching an interview with it last night on YouTube. Sure.
So, like, what you get in the collection is, like, three vinyl records, two of which are the audiobook, one of which is the music from the audiobook. Then you also get the same in CD format. And then, like, a picture or like a photograph book or whatever. I haven't really had time to delve into it, but I have listened to the audiobook, which, you know, presumably is the main piece of it. Basically, it's like really weirdly, like totally, because I didn't know anything about it when I heard it, but totally unexpectedly, it's a biography of Steve Moore, who is not related to Alan Moore, but is a British comics writer. who told Alan Moore how to write comic scripts and stuff, and they're obviously friends. So it was really, because, you know, with Alan Moore, you kind of expected something crazier. but that didn't stop him. This is, in fact, the craziest biography I've ever read / listened to in my entire life. It's like getting by Alan Moore. It's like really dense. I was listening to it in work, right? And because that's what I do, you know, instead of working. But so I was listening to work, so I couldn't give it 100% concentration. So I'd be kind of, which is, it was stupid to me, but that's what I did. And I'd be sort of, I'd tune out for a second, and then I'd listen again, and he'd be like, oh, I'm like, and now it's in 1700, the year 1700 in England. I'm like, what? Isn't this a biography on 1970s comic artist Steve Moore? But that said, it is brilliant. It's Alan Moore is a crazy way of words, as people probably know. Although I'd said I haven't actually read a book or anything that's just been dialogue that's just been text from him before, except the scripts and stuff, I guess. So it was kind of unique, and he has a really stupid, you know, English accent, but it actually works really well. Like, makes no attempt to hide it. Sometimes you can't really tell what he's saying, but it sort of adds to the charm. It's got this really cool rhythm to it, and there's music and stuff in the background. I didn't write down who it's by. More sort of ambient noise than music, although there is some musical bits. And it's almost like it's quite musical in a way, the rhythm of how he talks in conjunction with the music. Story-wise, yeah, it's a biography of comic artist Steve Moore, so there is some insights into what the UK comic scene was like and stuff, and that stuff's interesting. Just to tell you how weird this is, like, the centrepiece of the book is a part where Steve Moore is hallucinating, or he thinks he's going crazy because he has these visions of this goddess, Selene, the Greek moon goddess. So he goes over to Alan Moore's place, because if Alan Moore can see her as well, then he'll know he's not crazy. And so they go over, and he just starts like chanting. I don't know if you've seen any interviews I've seen, Alan Moore, they will show this clip of him chanting. I don't know if you've seen that bit, it's crazy. He's got a super dude, it's really crazy. And then Alan Moore, in fact, does see the goddess, and they speak about her for a bit. So, like, it's really wild. And actually, the last chapter of the book, and probably the most brilliant thing ever, talks about what Steve Moore does after he reads Unearthing, like after he reads the biography of himself, like what he does and how he can't not do what the last chapter is telling him to do. So it's brilliant. Like, yeah, 100% highly recommend.
Okay.
It is like 80 euros for this like huge wow. box set thing, or something like that. It's pretty expensive. But the story itself was in a book, you googly find it, it's called, I think, Disappearances, or London, the City of Disappearances, something like that. And the short story was in that, so you could just get it that way quite cheaply as well. I highly recommend it. I really do recommend the audiobook version, though, if you can get your hands on it. I don't know if it's available as a separate just audiobook on iTunes. I didn't check.
What comes in the box then?
Sorry, like I said, 3 vinyls, 3 CDs, the book with photographs as well. So, like, it's definitely the set's probably worth the money if you have the money. It's just, you know, recession, broken Ireland. You know what I'm saying? It might not be. Like, yeah. If you're an Alan Moore fan, this is what you should be asking for Christmas from your girlfriend or your
We really need family. To start reviewing, you know, like, 1 euro comics. So we need to be more in line with the public.
People, yeah, I know. Not everyone can just... Not everyone, when they see, like, a box out with Alan Moore's face on it, go, yep, that's worth 80 euros. No one wants in it. Yeah, so Alan Moore, Unearthing. Check it out. It's fucking great. Do you have any more comics? We have Thunderbolts.
Yes, Thunderbolts.
You don't mind us. We can talk about Thunderbolts now.
Let's talk about Thunderbolts. This is quite exciting.
Yeah, it is. So Thunderbolts 148, I think, written by Jeff Parker and art by our own my personal boyfriend, Declan Shalvey.
Amazing. What did you think?
I thought it was excellent. I'm a big Jeff Parker fan, and I'm a big Declan Shalvey fan, so this is pretty good. It's a brief background, I guess. It's a Shadowland crossover thing. A Shadowland being, I haven't actually read any Shadowland comics, but my understanding is Daredevil is now evil, and the superheroes, and he has these ninjas to hand, and all the heroes are trying to take him down. But so in this issue, Luke Cage, he runs the Thunderbolts now, I guess. The Thunderbolts being a collection of supervillains forced to do superhero work. You know, he's going to bring those guys out to help find Shadowland. So, story-wise, there's not much there, I guess. But I thought it was... I'm a big fan, like I said, of Jeff Parker. He's always doing sort of B-tier comics. Like, not in a bad way, but that seems to be all he gets in, like, Thunderbolts. He's never, you know, written Spider-Man or anything. But he should be. He's definitely the best writers to have in that tier of writers, and I'm sure he'll get pushed up to as soon as a Daredevil or an Iron Man book comes available, he'll be given it. It's like story wise, like I said, it's the Thunderbolts and their villains are like Moonstone, and I don't actually know many of these characters because they're kind of B tier villains as well, but Crossbones and
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's good banter between them, and you know, some one of them kills another one and stuff. Art wise, I guess is what people are waiting to hear. What is our opinion of Declan Shalvey's art in this comic? And he blew it out of the water. Yeah, no, like, let's be honest. No, like I was reading. Yeah, it's excellent. Again, in the sort of B-tier thing of Marvel Comics, like he stands out. I read a lot of these shitty fucking crossovers into you know, to different events, and you know, 8 times out of 10 they're rubbish. Yeah, he's both writing and otherwise. So this is probably one of the best crossover things I've read in a long time, and it's just super good. I think check it out. It ends on a pretty big not a cliffhanger, but definitely I want to see what happens in the next issue as well.
One of the great tells, I think, of a good artist is that I think we've probably said this before about other people, is that, you know, if you follow their work for a number of years, you can tell it, you can see it, like improving getting better and better and better. And this is like probably best work that Shelby has done
compared to even Tim Skinner or something, which I like.
Absolutely,
a huge jump. Pick it up.
Yeah, do pick it up. I know Sub City sold out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Rob was wondering, so if you do want a copy of it, go in and hound Rob to order in more. I don't know. I imagine if Sub City went out of it, Forbidden Planet, we're probably out of it because Deck was in there signing last week. But yeah, dude, like, buy a copy. Support our own.
Well, actually, the thing that astounded me the most, perhaps, was that I was reading and it didn't feel out of place. You know, I was like, dude, this is absolutely, you know, a well-drawn Marvel comic. You know what I mean? It didn't feel like, some sort of amateur doing it, you know. It was excellent. I was blown away. Good work.
5 stars.
Well.
you can put that on the back of the collected edition.
One thing I wanted to do actually was just check who drew Thunderbolts before, or who Declan's filling in for, but I didn't. And compared them page for page. This is how he draws. I prefer Declan's Moonstone. I prefer Jen.
And then get the next comic to be drawn like with people, artists doing individual characters.
Exactly. Great. So we're moving on to movies now, I guess.
Movies! Can I have a movie theme tune?
That's that.
Nice. Or maybe that grandfather clock. Can you hear that? Listen.
I don't think the listeners care.
Then maybe they can.
They know it's now.
Well, there's a grandfather clock banging in the background.
But if you hadn't said anything, they might have thought it was their own grandfather clock.
Or they might have thought we were in London at the turn of the century, solving crimes. No.
That's the last thing.
All right, films. Let's talk about Defendor, which is a film. Basically, I around the same time as the Kick-Ass trailer came out, there was also this trailer, very same week actually, of a very similar ish looking film, where kind of, you know, an average Joe decides he wants to become a superhero, and you know, makes his own suit, makes his own kind of superhero image, and goes out to fight crime in his real world locale.
Sure.
And that film was Defendor, starring Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
At the time, I remember I seen the trailer and I was quite excited. I was quite excited to see Kick-Ass, and I was quite excited to see Defendor. It looked, you know, it looked like the trailer was presented as a comedy, which it is not entirely. It's more of a comedy drama.
Right.
You haven't seen this.
No, I've seen the trailer.
Good work.
I do have it. I just didn't bother spending an hour and a half watching it in preparation for this podcast.
This is the new Comicast. This is the new, better researched Comicast. Anyway, it hit cinemas earlier this year.
It came in cinemas, didn't it?
Yeah, in February, but not here. Which was... it's kind of unusual. It's just on DVD here now.
Woody Harrelson movies don't go to cinema then.
Zombieland.
Except Zombieland.
Well, this could have been a continuation of Zombieland in terms of a quirky new direction.
Sure.
For him. Anyway, so the plot concerns Woody playing Arthur Poppington, great name, as a regular Joe who believes that he's a superhero named Defendor, obviously, and he goes into the kind of city streets in search of his arch enemy, Captain Industry, before befriending a young prostitute in his quest. The prostitute in question is Kat Dennings.
Kat Dennings.
Yeah, she's
I'm watching this movie as soon as I go home.
Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. For those of you who don't know. So the story is kind of taken from the perspective of where Harrelson is in therapy at the start. Sandro.
Michelle O.
Who's Michelle O?
Nobody.
Sandro, anyway, is a psychiatrist, and he's kind of, you know, recounting the whole story to her. The first thing that struck me, as I said, was this is not entirely a comedy, and it's kind of depressing in a way, because the Poppington is this kind of, he's delusional, he's got serious like mental health issues.
Yeah.
Like he's not just crazy, he's got like proper kind of like serious illness.
Sure.
And which kind of makes a lot of the things that he's doing where they would have been funny, a little bit less so. It makes it a bit more tragic, actually. Yeah. But he does have, there's some genius kind of touches, like where he keeps like a hive of bees or wasps, and when he's going out to fight crime, he like gets them, puts them in a jar, and then like when he's, you know, if there's some bad guys, he'll just like throw the jar at the ground and the wasps come out and start attacking, you know, people. He's got some really ingenious kind of ways. I liked, whereas Kick-Ass, they are kind of like really proper kind of crazy martial arts. This guy is like, you know, he can put up a fight like, you know, like any regular person. Definitely not us.
A regular man.
So he's after this guy called Captain Industry, and there's actually a really neat way of how Captain Industry got his name. Captain Industry is in fact just like a regular kind of drug dealer. I won't spoil how he got his name, but you see in the film. But I like this film, despite, you know, it being different to what I expected. It's Woody Harrelson is really good in it. He's good. He definitely drives the film, because there's other kind of lesser kind of performances in there. It's a little unusual. It's very tragic. I think it's worth picking up. I mean, I got it on DVD for like a tenner.
Okay, tell me more about Kat Dennings in the movie.
Let's see. What have you ever wanted to see Kat Dennings do in a film?
Get naked.
No.
Fight crime.
You know.
Mouth my name.
You creepy bastard. For Kat Dennings fans, it is definitely worth checking out.
Done.
I do pick it up. It's kind of like a sober version of Kick-Ass.
Sure.
Next.
Oh, right.
Oh, sorry, no, go on.
Oh, no, yeah, I've got Tamara Drew.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. Right, so I've got a little story about this.
Okay.
Well, not very good story.
You're not bringing much to the table.
I wanted to go see Tamara Drew, which is based on the comic by Posey Simmons.
And The Guardian.
Yeah, but it wasn't on. It's only on, like, once a day. How many people going to see Tamara Drew? It looks awesome. It's got Gem Arden in it.
Does it look awesome?
Yeah, it does.
I like the way we're about to review a film that neither of us have seen.
Yeah. I like Stephen Frears. He's a good director.
I don't know. This doesn't look like a Stephen Frears film.
I like Gem Arden. I don't know, actually. It's been kind of getting mixed reviews.
I've seen the trailer. Definitely don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I've never read the comic in The Guardian, but it also makes me not want to read the comic.
But knowing that the movie is coming out, I decided I'll read the comic. I just googled it and I could buy a copy, I could buy a copy, but by the time I decided this, I wouldn't have arrived in time. So I was like, I'll just check if it's on the Guardian website. It is, except it's like they have every fucking like page of it, or it's a one page strip every week or whatever. They have every page of it on the website, but like it's too small to read the text properly, like comfortably.
Yeah, I've seen that on a few websites.
What's the fucking point?
Yeah,
like. It's just so stupid. Like, fuck you, The Guardian, The Guardian UK, and you're stupid. Like, I don't, like, It's totally fine if they don't want to put it on a website and say, hey, or have a sample and say, buy the book.
Yeah.
Because now there's a book out. That's totally fine. But don't put up all 120 pages and make them unreadable. That yeah. doesn't make any fucking sense.
Do you have any idea of how to sum it up for people, the story-wise?
It is, I guess it's not really, it's some sort of pokey town. And Gemma Arden's Tamara Drew character comes and she's a sexy sex pot. And all the men are falling all over her. And it's a sort of a comedy thing.
That's just the worst summary I've ever heard.
Worst or best?
You can. I have seen the comic in that bookstore in Jervis Street Shopping Centre. Which one is that?
I don't know what that's
Hodges
called.
Hodges and Vidges Chapters? I don't know. Waterstones.
These Waterstones, sure.
Yes. I have seen it in there in a big tome. Again, quite expensive, but it's probably all the collected things. Anyway, let's stop talking about that because we haven't seen or read it. Next film,
yeah.
The Illusionist.
Oh, yes.
You haven't seen this.
I do really want to see it then.
It's directed by Sylviane Chomat, who did the Triplets of Belleville,
yeah.
Which, I mean, pretty much everyone, I'm sure, yeah. with an interest in film has seen, was nominated for Best Animated Film a couple of years back. So The Illusionist, not to be confused with
Norton.
Yeah, which I didn't like.
It had Eddie Mars in it, so therefore it's great.
Well, the film is based on an unproduced script by the French mime Jacques Tati that is apparently written in 1956. But I've seen some of Tati's movies, which are quite good, like Mon Uncle and Playtime. And it's all kind of him just going around. They're generally silent, as it were, you know, the silent in that, you know, nobody's really talking.
Sure.
But anyway, so The Illusionist, the plot revolves around a struggling illusionist or magician who visits an isolated community and he meets a young girl who thinks that his magic is real. So he travels from France and he's just looking for work. It's all about kind of the musical hall era of entertainment, you know, when ventriloquists and, you know, kind of acts like that would have been good. So he kind of, taken up to Scotland, where this girl who lives in this tiny remote village and he performs in this pub and she sees his magic and she thinks it's real, which is key to this entire film, because in one kind of moving gesture he sees the holes in her shoes or whatever, so he kind of, you know, goes out and buys her new shoes and then does a magic trick, you know, as if they've just appeared. So she kind of, when he goes back to Edinburgh to continue his tour, she has stowed away, you know, on the ship with him. So they kind of just, you know, carry on kind of living together. It's more a father-daughter relationship than anything else. And she just kind of continues to see things. You know, she sees like a dress in a shop and she kind of, you know, she looks at him like, you know, make this appear. So it's the animation is wonderful. The animation is like nothing I've ever seen. Really some of the best stuff I've ever seen. The main character is kind of modelled on Jacques Tati himself and kind of has his mannerisms, which is great, which is a really nice touch, I thought. It's kind of set in Edinburgh in the kind of 1950s. I think the script originally was supposed to be set somewhere in like Czechoslovakia, so I don't know why the change. But some really, really great touches, really, really magical kind of stuff. As with original Tati movies, there's no talking as such. They kind of, I don't want to say like, what's that, Animal Crossing?
Yeah.
They don't, they kind of talk like that. It's weird. It's kind of like when the main character who's French talks, it's almost kind of like Pepe Le Pew, where they say random French stuff. I know he's not saying random French stuff, but he's not really saying it coherent enough for you to entirely understand.
Yeah.
Whereas the girl is talking in kind of some sort of Scottish Gaelic. But it's, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
But when I went to see this film in the Lighthouse Cinema, it was just, it was full of like the most diverse people you could ever see. Like, there was really young people there, and there was actually loads of old couples, presumably fans of Tati. But on the way out, everyone I just overheard, you know, people talking, were kind of completely bowled over by this film. This is the best film I've seen of the year so far. It's completely, I don't want to say too much about it, We go on. You look like you have a question.
What about salt?
What about? I haven't seen salt. I haven't seen salt yet. So my view may change. No, but this is a absolutely yeah. remarkable piece of cinema. It's a remarkable animation. I mean, there's like, I don't know how far they go in for the Oscars, but this is, unless something amazing comes out, this has got like either best foreign picture or best animated film written all over it. It will break your heart. It will take you on a roller coaster ride. And there's there's loads of scenes in it that I'm not going to spoil. I just don't want to say, because you really need to just see them for the first time. But really kind of simple, everything's, because there's no talking in it, and I kind of thought at the start I'm going to be annoyed at this film because nobody's going to talk. But it completely works. Everything's really visual. There's a lot of kind of really slight kind of visual gags that are just brilliant to watch. The one thing that struck me actually is, and probably with the triplets of Belleville as well, is that for some reason, the attention to detail is fantastic on every single character. So like, say when they're in a pub, if you look at any single character, they're all, you know, they're all moving, they're all animated, and they all look really different, you know, unlike say in a Disney crowd film where they've been CG'd the fuck, you know, and there's just the same person waving in a different way or whatever. You need to check this out. There's been a bit of controversy over the fact that the film doesn't kind of mention Tati's daughter, who he kind of abandoned in real life when she was only, I think, a baby. Yeah. And apparently this film had been kind of written kind of to her, and there was no kind of mention of her in it, but I don't know. But anyway, go and see this film. I'm not sure exactly if, you know, how long more it's running. It can't be running for that much longer. It is in the Lighthouse, it is in the IFI. I do recommend you go and see it on the big screen, but if not, hold out.
Is it in 3D?
It's not in 3D.
I'm not going to see it. I guess we'll play the interview with Brenby. I don't know. Oh, do you know what to say about that?
Offset 2010, the kind of biggest creativity conference in Ireland, you know, is happening in about 2 weeks. So I went to talk to Brenby to find out all about it.
Yeah, this is Brenby talking. Hi, I'm Brenby.
How are you doing?
Grand, thanks.
You're doing good. All right, well, we're here to talk about Offset, which is closing in fast.
Less than 3 weeks.
It's into the second year. According to the website, it's bigger and better. How bigger, how better?
About 5 times bigger and maybe 2 times better. But bear in mind, it was really good last year. So 2 times better is probably, you know, in any man's language, that's pretty good.
Okay.
No, we've got like, I mean, the biggest change this year, I guess, is the venue. We've moved from the 400-seater Liberty Hall Theatre, which was really, really great last year. It was a great place to start. But we found that the demand for tickets didn't really match what we could sell. So we've moved now to the Grand Canal Theatre, which is a much bigger venue. We can hold up to 2,000 people. So that gives us a bigger opportunity, you know, to let people see, witness what we're doing, but also, you know, hopefully to make some money.
Okay. Speakers at the event, you've got some big names. Who are you personally looking forward to?
It's really hard to tell, because last year we had some of my, in our first year we did up a list of people that we wanted to invite, and basically everybody that said yes. So it was hard. It wasn't how much hard coming up with names this year, but all the people that I really wanted to see kind of came last year. I'm really looking forward to seeing people like Nate Williams, who's one of my favorite illustrators. He's coming over. He's an American living in Argentina, so he's flying over from Argentina. George Lois is going to be amazing. He's like one of the original kind of New York ad men. Who else am I looking forward to seeing? Zach Gold is a really amazing photographer. I mean, one thing that we try and do is we try and have a mixture between kind of new up-and-coming guys and girls, but also well-established and then just total legends. So that's where George Lois and people like Lance Wyman and Stephen Heller and people like that are this year.
Okay.
I'm actually really excited myself to see Tomer Hanuka. Mm. I wonder if I pronounced that right. He's done one of the...
Possibly. We won't know until we meet him. It's always risky. And I'll be getting him on stage to introduce him. So I'll know from his expression on his face whether he's already emailed me to say I spelled his name wrong on the website twice. So I'm sure he's probably expecting me to pronounce it wrong as well.
That's brilliant. He's done one of my favorite covers of the Philosophy in the Boudoir. It's a fantastic...
It's pretty nice, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, like last year, compared to this year, last year had a lot more kind of a comics feel to it with James Jean, Dave McKean, Tara McPherson. I mean, a lot of them, well, Dave McKean draws comics as well, but most Tara and James mostly do covers. Tomer does his own comics. Hasn't done them in a while. He's concentrated more on illustration now. So there's probably less of a comics input this year. But we're hoping to have some second room. We have two rooms, a main stage and a second room, where there'll be more debates, panel discussions, things like that. So hopefully there'll be something happening in there that are more comics related.
Cynthia Eastwood are back on board for this year.
Yep.
Just for people who don't know who maybe Cynthia Eastwood are, just or what they do.
Well, they're kind of like a motley crew of hipsters that put on exhibitions. They do live performances, music. They do kind of art happenings. They're basically just a load of cool guys that do lots of different things, like live visuals. We had them doing a gift shoot with us last year, where they took a photograph of everybody who was at the conference, and then we used that at the party then in Twisted Pepper, where the visuals were going all night through the music.
Yeah.
So this year they have a very special project that's not going to be revealed until the day, but it's the working title, I think, is called... Well, originally it was called Chinese Whispers, but it's been changed since then. So maybe if you look at what it is now and then think of Chinese Whispers, that might give you a bigger clue as to what's going to happen. But it's going to be really good fun. The guys are great coming up with really great interactive fun things to happen, you know, art happening. So it should be really good fun, I'd say.
You're also screening, there's going to be screenings curated by Darklight, but one in particular standing out, Spike Jonze's absolute collaborated film, I'm Here.
Yes.
Is this like an Irish premiere? Is this being?
I'm not sure exactly whether it's been shown anywhere in Ireland. It definitely didn't get a proper release. I mean, it's a commercially sponsored piece by Absolute. They commissioned Spike to make the movie. It's been available to watch online, but we're going to be showing it in our main stage on our huge screens. Absolute are one of our sponsors this year, so we asked them, could we get permission to show it? And, you know, we're delighted to be able to do that. Yeah, but so I'd say it's probably the first time it's been shown on such a big screen in front of so many people.
Apart from the main 3-day presentation, there's going to be things happening kind of in a week-long program.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff can people expect?
We've mostly their exhibitions, one-man shows, group shows. We've got exhibition-wise, we've got Alan Clark as a solo show. Alan Clark, like illustrator, book, children's book designer, probably most famous for doing the Ross Carroll O'Kelly. Southside rugby thing. So he's got a solo show. We've got a couple of group shows. For the Love Of, the guys from For the Love Of are doing a group show where they're inviting people to submit used furniture and pieces, anything that's kind of recycled, and you can make art with them, draw on them, and that's going to be shown in the South Street Studios. We've also got a show called Show Off, which is another group show, which is happening in the Paris Court Town Centre. We've got Laundry, which is run by the Illustrators Ireland and South Street Studios, and that's basically, they've invited 70 illustrators, designers, photographers, art directors, creatives to do a piece that basically is a reflection of, or an expression of, people's darkest dirty laundry, I guess, hence the title. You know, they're going to be exposing their themselves, metaphorically and literally, I'm sure, in some cases. We also have a new space, which is the shop just off Grafton Street, which sells all the street art, books and prints. They're doing a podcast of like a walking tour of Dublin, of all the different kind of international and Irish street art that's around the city.
Cool.
So that'll be available, you know, you can go in, you can download that and walk around the city and
that's a great
get idea. A tour. We've got Daniel Etock, who's a really great designer, illustrator, artist, who's doing a show on Monster Truck in Temple Bar. So that's going to have two launches, one on the Friday night before Offset, where he's got a stunt motorcycle guy coming in to try and draw a perfect circle with the burn a perfect circle on paper, and then that will be hung and exhibited for the week leading up to the real opening, which is on the Thursday of Offset, where he'll have spent the whole week working as a workshop in Monster Truck, building up a body of work based on that experience with the motorbike. So that should be good fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, we've just got a couple of little shows around town, just, you know, and in store stuff.
How important is an event such as this for the kind of creative scene here in Dublin?
Well, I mean, I suppose, you know, it's a really, you know, for everybody, it's a really tough time at the moment. For the creative industries and design agencies, advertising, illustrators, photographers, budgets have just been cut completely because clients aren't spending money. And when they are spending it, they're being really, really careful, which is a good thing, I guess. They don't want to wait. No, and everyone wants to be as efficient as possible. But it means that people are now looking for maybe new ways to explore how to, you know, make a living from what they do. But a lot of people are made redundant. What we want to do is we want to create a focal point for creative types who can come together, network, get inspired, and be positive about the future. Because there's a lot of great stuff, a lot of great people out there, and we don't want it to be like an industry conference where you come in and how to beat the recession and all that kind of stuff. But what we want to do is we want to just get people together and see what happens, and maybe it'll become a springboard for something in the future.
Okay. Where can people get their hands on tickets? I presume
tickets are still available. Yeah, you can. I mean, all the information you need is on our website, which is iloveoffset.com. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster, you know, online, ticketmaster.ie, in any of their outlets, or straight directly from the Grand Canal Theatre box office, where you don't have to pay the Ticketmaster charge.
Okay. Brembe, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
And we're back. Yes, so you can get tickets for Offset at iloveoffset.com. The early bird...
It got extended.
It's still going, despite the fact that it's, you know, on in like 2 weeks. But
recession, broken Ireland.
Yeah, broken Ireland. But now we're into news.
Sure,
news theme. What you got for me?
I don't know much. Mark Miller, writer of Nemesis, creator of 2008 East, Eskmag, Clint. Is directing his first movie.
Oh, yeah?
And they're already shooting it. It's called Miracle Park. It is... Not much has been released about it. But it has been a little bit. It's set in Scotland, and it's about some guys, or a guy or guys, who break in somewhere where they're doing, like, genetic experiments on, like, rats or something, and presumably get some superpowers. It'll be out next year if they get distribution.
Push that aside. Yeah. Also out next year, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Yeah.
So quick background is that obviously Bono and U2 were taken on board to write the Spider-Man musical on Broadway in New York City. It got off to kind of a rocky start last year when I think investors pulled out of it. They were a little unsure. I think it was that kind of Scottish actor who used to be in the airline sitcom. What's that guy?
Alan Cumming?
Yeah, he was, you know, part of the cast. Yeah.
He's still isn't
he? I had a look at the website last night, and he's not listed in the cast. So
I know definitely people quit before him. Like he stayed for a while.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but they did have a. There's about like 20 people on the cast list, and he's not on it.
Rachel Everwood, she's no longer.
Either. Yeah. So this kind of had a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
And I actually thought it wasn't going to happen then. Yeah. I presumed it was.
I was doing something crazy. I can't remember like how that it'd have to run something like for like, I don't know, 6 years straight.
Yeah, to make its money back.
To make its money back. I know obviously it's definitely gonna have a fucking DVD sale, you know, and stuff like that. So make some cash that way. But But anyway.
So it's back on board. The first song from the musical debuted on Good Morning America last week.
I've got a lot to say about this.
Okay, well, the song was called Boy Falls from the Sky.
Yeah.
Yes, go for it.
So you just showed this to me only a scant hour ago.
Yes.
First off, like, presumably, like, this can't be a song in the musical, because it's more like a like an opening song or something, or, you know.
Okay, well, it's, let me explain something to you, sir. For listeners out there who don't know, I'm a huge fan of musical theatre.
Sure.
And maybe I'm wrong, but musicals these days don't need, like, they're not musicals in the sense of, you know...
musicals
like Avenue Q or Wicked are kind of the two big ones in the West End and Broadway at the minute. But, like, for example, here's a good example, is that there's a Green Day musical using the songs of Green Day. Kind of like Mamma Mia. But it's a huge big, it was a big kind of winner at the Tony Awards. But, you know, so just using the songs of Green Day. So, like, What I'm expecting from this, and it's particularly from this song, is this is a song definitely that's going to be in the musical. Is that it's, you know, it's not going to be, you know, kind of the more prancy about song and dance. Going to be a little bit more kind of guitars.
It's fucking bollocks. The song is shit. It sounds like it actually really sounds like Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2. Like, it really does.
Oh yeah, it definitely sounds like, obviously, Bono and The Edge, like, wrote it, but it does have U2 all over it.
Yeah, I fucking hate U2. So fuck off. You fuck off from my Spider-Man musical.
Hey, you know what? You want to listen to the song?
Yeah.
Let's play a clip, just so people can...
Sure.
You can change your mind, but you cannot change.
That was what really annoys me about the song, like, just that chorus, man. Like, I don't need to hear it four fucking times and shit. Once would be enough.
I didn't. To be fair, okay. I'm putting my reputation out on the line here. I don't like U2.
Clearly.
When I listened to this, I've seen this performance of this song. I was like, this is awful. Yeah. This is everything about this is awful. But the second time I watched it, I didn't think it was good, but I thought it was probably less awful than I'd originally thought.
That's a backhanded compliment I've ever heard of. It's not as bad.
Anyway, the singer of the song and Peter Parker in the musical is Reeve Carney, who kind of I don't know how awful or brilliant this is. While performing, like, wore a red shirt with black braces.
When I was watching the performance, I was thinking, if he was wearing a Spider-Man costume, then this would probably be totally fine.
He's also, unusually, trivia fact, he's in a band in real life with his brother, and the band is just called Carney, which is kind of weird.
A pretty bad name.
I don't know. I really want to see this musical.
Yeah, me too.
If you've ever been to Broadway, or if you ever go to New York, do go and see a show, because it's like seeing a movie live. It's really weird. You know, it's like fucking explosions on stage. It's cool. So I actually think this could work. Even though the song's not that great, I think, you know, in a complete kind of product.
Yeah.
I think it could be good.
I was listening to an interview with Alan Cumming about it maybe a year ago or something, and he was just saying, like, the crazy schedule, and it'd just be like, you know, 6 weeks, like, flying training and stuff. Like, it just sounds like they have the craziest shit in his musical. That's why it's so expensive. So
yeah.
I'm definitely interested, but
tickets are available now. I don't know if, like,
I wouldn't risk it.
It's the kind of thing where even, like, these shows, this is the interesting thing about Broadway, and I've never understood, is that Like, tickets are on sale now, but once this show starts, it'll be going every night for about, like, 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet, it will still manage to be sold out every night, which I always find remarkable.
Yeah.
Like, who, like, I don't get it, where they find enough people.
These chumps.
Like, because tickets are always pretty expensive. Like, you're looking at probably about at least 100 quid, like.
They must be giving them away, man, just to keep it sold out, to keep the interest in. Yeah. They do Lady Gaga gigs. Anyway. I'm serious.
News.
The only other thing I have, really, is Graphically, graphic.ly, which is a comic program you can download for your desktop, which lets you download comics. It's sort of similar to the comic apps you have on your iPod or your iPad. Lets you read comics, but interestingly, this is probably the first app that will let you download comics straight onto your computer, which is kind of what I've always wanted from my downloaded comics. The download comic scene, they're cheaper. They're only $1.50, €1.50. Actually, I was just using the American one, so
yeah.
I don't know if you can even buy it over here. I think.
Yeah,
but I'm sure you will soon. And the reader's pretty cool. It's better. Like, see, Marvel have this subscription thing on their website where you can just subscribe for €10 a month and read like shitloads of comics, but the reader's really shit, and you have to be online. You know, you can't just put them on your laptop and read them when you're on the train or something. So this is really, I think it's pretty cool. It's a step forward. If you, interestingly, the comics are cheaper on this, so if you buy them on this, you can still link them to your Marvel account or your whatever account, and then read them on your iPod. Even though if you bought it on the iPod, it'd be €2.
Yeah,
so you can save that 50 cents. Recession, broken nice. Ireland.
Okay, in Irish comic news, just a reminder that the Dublin Comic Jam, it's actually on this Thursday, the 30th of September.
Following
Thursday. The 30th anyway of September. In the Lord Edward pub at 8 p.m. You know, go there and draw with all
that.
What
is the Dublin Comic Jam? Explain.
The Dublin Comic Jam, if you don't know, is where a group of comic book artists, anyone can go along. I think it's just kind of run by Paddy Lynch and Phil Barrett and those guys. And they all kind of go along and draw a panel, and then someone else draws the next panel. And it's, you know,
cool.
It's just a bit of a drink and a draw. And they provide the paper, etc., etc. Anyway, go there. So the biggest Irish comic book news is the Dublin City Comic Con.
Yeah, it's back.
It's back. December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It was supposed to be in Andrews Lane Theatre, but now that is not the case.
Where is it?
I think originally it was going to be in the Andrews Lane Theatre, the Mercantile, and the Village over the 3 days. I'm not sure exactly what has happened, but Andrews Lane is now not available, or anyway, so they kind of, it's, I know it's kind of put a spanner in the works in terms of trying to find other venues to replace some of the things. Just going on what's up on the website so far, the guests.
Some pretty cool guys.
Rufus Daglow is there, Dave Ryan, Liam Sharp, Ben Temple-Smith, and Simon Bisley. Pretty good, and there's going to be more people, apparently.
Lined up. The Irish dudes will be there as well.
Yeah, so I think people can, like any convention, you can buy your table, or whatever.
Comcast is going to have a table.
Are we? Yes.
We should have.
We should. We'll be signing autographs.
Doing sketches.
The ticket prices are pretty good. For a weekend ticket is €25, unless, you know, these changes, but €25. For a day ticket is €15.
Yeah.
If you're between 10 and 14, it's €14.
Do we have many listeners who are between the age
of 10 and 14? I don't
know. I hope so. I hope we're forming.
They all have the mental age.
Way to insult our entire listenership.
And under 10s are free. So do check it out. It's a bit sketchy. I know we are going to be talking to John Hendrick, who's one of the organisers of the festival and who has organised some of the Dublin Comic Cons in the past. We'll be talking to him either on the next show or the show after that.
From the horse's mouth.
Yes.
It's not till December anyway, so we'll fill you in before then.
Yes,
it's like a cliffhanger where you need to tune back into the comic as next month.
But good to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, to let you know that the Inish, the children's book, Books Ireland magazine, which is a great organisation, by the way, CBI, they organise kind of children's book festivals every year. But anyway, it's out. I think it comes. I think it's a quarterly magazine. Anyway, the autumn edition is out in shops now. You can check out their website. I'll link it up. Mm. I'm not sure exactly where you can buy it. I think Easton's and that.
Sure.
But anyway, this month I reviewed some.
So you're in.
I'm in it.
So you're not an impartial. It's not an impartial recommendation here, you're saying.
No, but it might be of benefit to our listeners because I review some children's comics.
Oh, yeah?
Which we don't really review here.
Why? Why are we limiting ourselves?
Well, yeah, of the few comics we actually do read, yeah. Why am I, you know, reviewing exactly. them for their bodies? But anyway, check it out.
Would it be fair to say that this is like the subscription for the Comicast? Like, if you want the additional full Comicast features, you need to buy this magazine.
Yeah, you're missing out. There's also an article in there by Brigine Gillespie about the 2D festival. So lots of comic book stuff in there. What else was I going to tell you in Irish news? Yeah, I want to tell you about this great magazine, Punt. Yeah, yeah. Have you seen it? Have you picked it up yet?
No, my friend John Marshall is in one of them, I think.
Yeah, the first one, I think. This is it's only on its second issue. It's kind of like a new, well, I'm not going to say it's a new Mongrel, because it's not, but it's a new kind of, you know, Dublin magazine. No one has since, in that vein, yes, no one has, you know, taken up the mantle. But it's kind of all sorts of different kind of varied articles on things. The current issue has a cover by our friend Lorena Rush.
Oh, yes.
But it's great. Yeah, it covers like... You know, there is lots of kind of art things that'd be interesting, but it's just a great magazine. I just recommend. It's like €2.
Yeah, yeah.
You can pick it up in the Winding Books there, and loads of other places. Yeah, pick it up. It's great.
Do it now.
Okay, last piece of interesting news is that the Independent. Okay, you're gonna love this.
Yeah.
You know the way the Irish Independent routinely kind of have magazines that you get are free books.
Yeah.
So basically what they've started doing is bringing Disney graphic novels or comics. You know what on the front of this is written, like, the first one is Finding Nemo, and it's like Disney movies, the graphic novels, yeah. Which annoys me greatly.
Yeah.
It's just the comic. But yeah, anyway, I was flicking through this. It's actually quite good.
Yeah.
But obviously the first one's free and you've missed your chance if you haven't got it. But they they're doing the full 20, whatever. So every weekend in the Irish Independent, you can, for like a fiver, you can get one of these comics of a Disney movie. Yeah. And they're really good. Really good for kids.
This one's pretty high quality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are really good. Kids love them. I love them. Mm. So yeah, just to let you know about that.
Awesome.
All right, well, that's...
It's wind down.
Yeah, it's wind down time now.
Kick off the shoes.
So we're back.
Hello. Hello and welcome to the Comicast.
You might have noticed that our entire website is now brand new and sparkly.
Yes, it's very different.
Our new banner is done by Chris Judge.
Thank you, Chris.
Who did our old banner. Yeah. So a few changes around here.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting a new co-host. Liam's out.
What?
It's bad news.
No! yeah.
What are the changes? Tell me. I'm not sure. Sounded like the same podcast to me.
Anyway, well, we're gonna try to be delivering you a kind of better researched and more informative. Don't laugh.
That's true. We are.
Yeah,
we're putting a lot of time into that one.
Yeah. Well, not that we need to do much. We've been nominated for best podcast.
Short, long listed.
Long listed. Well,
our application was received. When I nominated us, I used a fake name, Hank Smith.
Beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you, Hank Smith.
Okay, if you've got a Nokia.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got a Nokia phone.
I know nothing about this store.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you.
Do.
You just listen. For once.
Do you need a Nokia? Can you not use another phone? Is it Nokia expensive?
No. This is like... So Nokia, if you have a Nokia and you want the Comicast on the go,
yeah.
Go to www.ovi.com. That's ovi.com. Yeah. Basically, this is kind of like the arch nemesis of the Apple
App Store.
So if you have a Nokia, you can go into the store there and search for the Comicast, where you'll find a brand spanking new application or app, as I believe they're called.
Yeah.
you can. It's free, so you can download it. Please rate it. Also, I mean, don't rate it if you're going to give it like 1 star, yeah, but
five stars only. Or we'll find you.
We can download it and it'll basically just make our website appear on your phone.
As a sort
nice.
Of app.
Yeah, it'll work kind of better.
Yeah. Like, it's our site, and I think if I had a Nokia, I wouldn't want it. I'd run straight to our website. So, but for the two of you people that do.
Let us know how that goes. I haven't seen it in action
yet.
Yeah,
I don't have a Nokia.
I have a Sagem. I can't even connect to the internet on my phone.
I know, you can barely send text messages.
Also, get in touch, okay?
Yeah.
So this is a big thing, okay? Get in touch on thecomiccast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you are a comics creator and you want us to review your comics, or you've got some news for events, email us, okay? So
we're tired of doing the work.
Yes. A big thing, and I was talking to a few people about this. Basically, if you just here's a tip for you: if you have a comic, you know, and that you want to promote it, send it to us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like where I do pay attention to the stuff that goes up on, you know, the Irish sections in comic book shops, but you know, do yourself a favor and send us a copy of your comic if you've got a new comic.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, you can send us like a PDF of it, you know, through Gmail. If you've got an event, contact us. If you have anything at all you want to tell us, frequently people do.
Yeah,
thecomiccast@gmail.com.
Also, just if you just want to email us and just say hello or have a comment or have a question about anything, do it. We need a mailbag section on the show.
Yes.
I'm saying it, and I'll say it again. I want to answer listener emails, give them advice.
We've been getting listener emails, but we've just been rejecting most of the stuff we've been getting.
Yeah. Send better emails.
You can also follow us on twitter.com/thecomiccast.
Yeah.
So you can, you know.
It's true. We're also on Facebook. Search the Comiccast. And you can also check us out on scamp.ie on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we did that.
Yeah, I know. We should really need to promote that. I feel like I'm putting in a lot of legwork for very little gain.
Yes, so that's pretty much
also
it.
Also, if you see us on the street, like we'll become friends that way. We still do it the old way. Where we'll shake your hand and stuff.
That's true. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, then join us in 2 weeks' time.
I promise.
We'll be talking to Pablo Meyer, who is a Brazilian comic book artist. He's actually quite prolific in Brazil.
He's trying says.
So he says. We have no way of checking.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a graphic novel under his belt, and he kind of does.
Why does he release it?
That's an awful gag.
Awful
and
great.
Anyway, we'll be talking to him in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. See you then.